It's 11:06 and it's Friday! Yippee! End of the week. February 11, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us. We want you to be a team member. Hey, you like our new jazzy music there? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You can buy me a coffee at the Power Hour. You buy me a coffee when you go to thepowerhour.com, the buymeacoffee.com thing just pops right up there. And it's a / the Power Hour. And we offer three different ways to support the Power Hour, because that's how we stay alive and kicking, how we stay cooking with gas. So level one support is $5 a month, and you can just basically be a residual team member. Level two, which is $15 a month, you get to support us. You get commercial-free show archives, and you get a 5% discount on all your online orders at thepowermall.com. Level three is $25 a month. Not only do you get to support us and have commercial-free show archives, you get the Joyce Riley Archive Vault. We access that once a week. We're going to put a new one on there, commercial-free. And you get 10% off all of your online orders at thepowermall.com. Any questions? support@thepowerhour.com. We'll be happy to answer them. In the meantime, we are still testing out frequency 6.160 on our shortwave. Any comments you have up until February 24th, you can call us at the Power Mall number at 877-817-9829, select option 2. Email us at support@thepowerhour.com. This is 6.160. Let us know what you think. We're still keeping 7.490. Don't worry. We're not canceling that frequency. Don't panic. If you want to look important and you want to sit in your cubicle and listen to us, that number is 631-359-8232 for those that want to listen by phone. And we have an email newsletter that we send out, and all you got to do is go to thepowerhour.com. That's thepowerhour.com and sign up. And you can get all our news, all the specials, all the support, everything we talk about on the show, all there. And as an added gift for those of you shopping in the Power Mall, right up until the end of this month, we have a little Power Mall code. It's called Happy 2022. Happy 2022. That's right. So I can't say it any better in my broadcast voice other than what I just did. And you put that in there and you get $5 off. In addition to everything else, yeah, that's pretty neat. You know, when you're a level three support member, you get $5 off until the end of the month, plus 10% discount on all your online orders. And this week at the Power Mall, we have the Power Silver 1 ounce Nano Silver on sale. BOGO! Ding, 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 ding. Buy one, get one free. Same with the Tranquil. 10% off global healing products, North American Urban Spice products, Lamb Cream and Miracle Skin Heal on PF products, and Strauss Naturals, which I take every day. Silver Botanicals, 10% off those two. Got a couple of closeouts here while supplies last. Essential Digestive Plus, 30% off. 20% off Grown by Nature, Iron and Molybdenum, Renatured 60 Count. And of course, it's Friday. Guess what else is going on? It's Cash Friday, Power Hour Radio Show. You can save 10% on your purchase at the Power Mall every Friday if you use the code Cash Friday at checkout when you select cash, check, or money order for payment. And, you know, of course, we have links on the website to find out more about that if you need more details. Or you can just call the Power Mall at the Power Mall number. We have Michelle Black, author of Sacrifice, a Gold Star Widow's Fight for the Truth. She is going to be on at the bottom of this hour. We're going to save our noon hour for you guys to call in and hash it out with me on the radio. Ask a lot of questions, hopefully get some answers, share your ideas, share your solutions. We like it when you have those. And if you're living in Ukraine, the U.S. government is advising all Americans there, get out. Remember that movie? Yeah, well, they want everybody out of the country now by any means available. Trains, boats, planes. Yeah, before there's no boat, no light, no motor car, not a single luxury. Hey, do I sound like I'm dating myself again? Of course I am. The previous U.S. travel alert issued in January cited the same concerns of increased threats of Russian military action and COVID, of course. Oh, they got to throw that in. While calling on U.S. citizens to avoid going to Ukraine, but did not go so far as to urge them to flee the country as soon as humanly possible. Folks, guess what? You know, the same thing could have happened in Afghanistan, but did they warn everybody to leave and get out? No. They didn't. They waited till the last minute till the military came in. We got ambushed. It's a mess of things. 13 people died that didn't have to. They closed down Bagram Air Base, which was El Stupido. This tells you that our U.S. government does not care how many Americans it kills. I mean, look at what we got going on now. We got a jab. We got depopulation. I mean, we got all these little suspected things happening in our world. Chemtrails, bleeding graphene oxide, and all sorts of other crap into the atmosphere that we have to breathe. And now they want you out of Ukraine. So, you know, I don't know what they got up their sleeve, but if you are living in Ukraine or you know people who are and you're listening to this show, call them up. Get a hold of them any which way possible and tell them to get out now because we can't, you know, protect you, and the U.S. government will not. I mean, look what's going on in Afghanistan right now. They will not protect anybody left behind. And Sleepy Joe got on camera with George Stephanopoulos and said, I'm not going to leave anybody behind. But did he? Of course he did. Lots of people. He's a liar. He's a pathological liar. So is Giggles, his VP. So is Pelosi. I have so much contempt for that woman. You know, she's the one that looks like Michael Jackson with a bad makeup day. Russia, by the way, already banned from the Olympics for doping. It's caught doping again. Breitbart is reporting 15-year-old Russian figure skating champion Kamila Valieva was allowed to continue practicing for the Beijing Winter Olympics on Thursday. That was yesterday. Even though she tested positive for a banned substance. It was technically banned from the Olympics after a massive state-sponsored doping scheme was busted at the 2014 Sochi Games. But its athletes are permitted to compete as representatives of a bureaucratic fiction called the Russian Olympic Committee. You see how political this is, folks? That's why the Olympics is a joke. They've turned the whole bloody thing into a joke. For those of you who did not know, and you've heard me talk about him before, he's a Nobel laureate. He earned a joint Nobel Prize in 2008 for his work in identifying the human immunodeficiency virus. That's HIV, for those of you who need a shortened form of that word. Professor Jean-Luc Montagnier, a French scientist whose Paris laboratory discovered the virus in the 80s, has died at age 89 peacefully in his sleep, surrounded by his kids, according to Francois. So just to let you know, he's no longer there to rise up and say, hey, I know what 4% of the jab is. HIV. Why'd they put that in there? The genome of HIV. Why is that in there? Because that's what's causing all the variants. HIV is a recombinant virus capable of producing 655 trillion strains. So I don't know what you want to live with it, but I call it a bioweapon. I don't know about you, but we are at war with China. We're at war with their own government for lying, hiding it up. We're at war with their own government because they cultured this stuff in a lab in UNC Chapel Hill under the auspices of Dr. Ralph Barrick and then sent it via EcoHealth Alliance and Dr. Peter Daszak. And then they had their little cheerleader, Tony Fauci, getting up and pontificating how everybody needs to take the jab, knowing the jab had this garbage in it while all Big Pharma and Fauci were raking in the money. Sounds like a real scheme to me, doesn't it? Hey, they want to sue me? Go ahead. I get discovery. There's enough stuff out there now. I don't think they can backpedal. Ontario court freezes access to GiveSendGo donations for truckers' protests. I would like to know how they did that. That's why I want the GiveSendGo folks to give us a call. The Globe and Mail, Ontario government says it has successfully petitioned to court to freeze access to millions of dollars donated through the online platform GiveSendGo. We'll see what happens about that. GiveSendGo is a United States entity. We'll see just exactly how that plays out. Ivana Yelich said the order binding any and all parties with possession or control over these donations was issued yesterday afternoon, citing a section of the criminal code that allows the attorney general to apply for a restraint order against any offense-related property. They are really trying to shut down funding. There's only so much they're going to be able to do before people get so fed up they're going to come for them. And I hope you understand my drift there when I say they're going to come for them. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, you know, the ones that look like that looks like he is a stork with his head buried in the sand, and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who is literally, since he became a parent, has hardly showed up to work, has urged their Canadian counterparts to use federal powers to stop truckers protesting against Canada's COVID-19 vaccine mandate from blocking the busiest border crossing between the two countries. Oh, that would be the Ambassador Bridge between Windsor, Ontario and Detroit, Michigan. Wow. You see, here's the thing. When you got these two leftist governments working in tandem with each other, there's no telling how dicey this is going to get. We decided, and for those of you who have internet, you definitely want to wait for that email blast tomorrow, because I put a bunch of different videos on there. There's like six different videos, from five of them from truck convoys around the world, one from Alaska, but there's one in Belgium, one in Canada, one in the Netherlands, one in Australia, and the Alaska one. So we got five up there, and these are all videos that you can watch of the trucker convoys. And the U.S., by the way, is going to be facing its own trucker convoy, according to intel provided to President Sleepy Joe. But, you know, with the mental acuity of a two-year-old, I just don't know whether this is sinking in. And we don't know what they're doing. He's probably going to call Merrick Garland and, you know, Mayorkas and a few other people and tell them to, you know, turn the feds loose on the convoy. You know, what is it going to take? Do we need another Waco to wake people up? I mean, Ruby Ridge wasn't bad enough, but I mean, another Waco. I mean, look at all the women and children they killed. And, you know, there's so much misinformation right now. Everybody thought that the convoy was going to start in California, affecting the Super Bowl. Oh, by the way, when you get your email blast tomorrow, there will be a new General Motors Super Bowl commercial in it. And I'm just like beside myself, because not only do I feel like GM is apparently woke, but it is commingling climate change with the sale of their new models, their new electric cars. And what's also interesting to note is that Dr. Evil is featured in the commercial. Yes, Austin Powers himself is not there, but number two and Scotch, daddy's back. They're all featured. Frau Farbizna, she's in it. Rob Lowe is in it. Number two, they're all in it. And they're talking about climate change and saving the world. And Dr. Evil is like the number two. He's going to stop climate change. You're going to do something to save the world, then he's going to control it. Ah. You know, what is GM telling us that we don't already know? Wait till you hear the rest of the news we're going to get into. National news just gets worse by the minute. But at least you got Austin Powers and Dr. Evil going, "Hurry, Scott, hurry, zip it. When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good." Yeah, I got to love it. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Exhibit A. Yeah, that's Mike Myers. That's me doing an impression of Mike Myers doing Dr. Evil. Yeah, but of course, baby, you know, come on, work with me. Now, you're wondering how I managed to do all these. I do 80 different character voices, folks. That's why you're hearing all of this stuff. You know, it's like when Susan the other day was on there talking about spinach and Popeye, man, I was so tempted to jump in. I was so tempted to jump in.
Where's me spinach?
Hey, we gotta have a little humor on the show because everything else is so depressing. And, you know, we don't have to let it get to us. That's the thing. You know, it's really funny though. Rand Paul, there's two stories about him in the Daily Signal, and he is all for trucker convoys coming to the U.S. And he's discussing the Canadian Freedom Convoy during an interview yesterday with the Signal, following an NBC News report a similar trucker convoy might form this weekend at the Super Bowl and come to D.C. for the State of the Union address in early March. Can you imagine just a whole ring of truckers all around the Washington Beltway?
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? And he has a new video out that we've included in your email blast for tomorrow, weighing in on COVID-19 tyranny, hypocrites, and civil disobedience. So you see, some of our politicians are actually rising up and saying, you know what? Enough's enough, folks. You don't have to buy into the COVID scheme anymore. There is so much nonsense going on. As a matter of fact, Breitbart, and this is amazing that their producers managed to get this, because I went and I saw it and tried to download it, and all of a sudden it disappeared, like they didn't want me to see it anymore. But CNN, of all places, a communist news network, took a poll, and the poll results in nearly 6 in 10 Americans disapprove of how Joe Biden is handling his presidency, with most of that group saying there's literally nothing that Sleepy Joe, Hair Sniffer Joe, has done since taking office that they approve of. Yeah, see, because everything he's doing is affecting them, too. All the viewers at CNN that watch that liberal woke garbage. Yeah. And CNN's ratings are in the toilet anyway. And then you have Democratic strategist James Carville, in his southern drawl, talking to Anderson Cooper on his 360 show on CNN. The House Select Committee is investigating the riot at the U.S. Capitol. However, I don't believe that it won't be that big a deal on January 6th Select Committee on the Democrats running in the midterms. And he basically went on to say, we'll have to wait and see what happens. And he says, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Donald Trump and a 1-6 committee. The Manhattan DA, the Fulton County DA, the archives, I have no idea. But what you can do is, the best you can do is talk about how you improved American lives and win elections. Win elections, really? Exactly. How did the Democratic Party, how did the current Biden administration improve American lives? Name me one thing. Call me and name me one thing. 844-769-2944. Seriously. Call me up and tell me what one thing he's done to improve other than give you free crack pipes. Now, here's a scary thought before we go to our break. Declassified document accuses CIA of bulk collection of data on Americans. And RT, Breitbart, Epic Times, everybody's reporting it. Two U.S. senators, Ron Wyden of Oregon and Martin Heinrich of New Mexico, asked CIA Director William J. Burns and U.S. Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines to declassify the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board study into the CIA's intelligence gathering on Americans under Executive Order 12333, an order passed by Republican President Ronald Reagan in 81, which expanded the power of intelligence agencies.
Well, I just had to do it. I woke up from my nap and decided to put in Executive Order number 12333, and that sounded like a good number to me. Nancy, I need to take my medication.
Yes, there you have it. Declassified document accusing the CIA of bulk collection of data on Americans. Wait a minute. Isn't the CIA supposed to be a world-gathering intel organization, not America? This is what the FBI is for. What's the CIA doing collecting data on Americans? Inquiring minds want to know.
I want to know.
The Dems are still pushing the IRS bank account snooping, and guess what? It started up. Americans for Tax Reform is saying, despite firm opposition from the American people, the Biden administration doesn't give a damn. They want that IRS bank account snooping back into the reconciliation bill, but the IRS is still snooping anyway. basically, if you have any business or personal deposits, inflow, outflow, whatever the case, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, more than $600 in total deposits and withdrawals, it's going to do a comprehensive financial account reporting regime on you, and it would inevitably increase audits on taxpayers making less than $400,000 a year. Oh, why only $400,000 a year? Well, that's because the majority of Americans don't make more than that. In fact, they make well less than that, and it's a great way to beat up on you self-employed proprietors. You soul guys out there put a lot of soul into your work, but your business organizational structure is lacking. This is why we've been talking about LLCs and corporations and whatnot, because there's less of a chance of them being audited and more asset protection than if you go at it as a solo, unless you're playing in the underground economy. Now, should I encourage you to play in the underground economy? I wouldn't need to, because I'll tell you what, there's so many people out there in the barter system right now playing in the underground economy at flea markets and truck farming and God knows what else, and cash businesses. Bully for you. That's how you avoid paying taxes. But see, tax avoidance is different from tax evasion. And so if you're not reporting what you earn to the government, that would be tax evasion. But of course, that's the guilt trip that they put on you when they bust people like Wesley Snipes and whoever else they busted right around April 15th when they sentenced them to jail because they failed to file and pay their taxes. They were evading them. So a lot of people just don't even like to talk about the fact that they barter in barter networks. That's something I'm talking about in my upcoming book, Doomed to Repeat, because every time that the tax increases, every time that the monitoring of people and their behaviors increase, so does the shadow economy. Well, we've got a lot to talk about after the bottom of the hour guest joins us, Michelle Black. You don't want to miss any of that. But this next half hour is going to grab you right where it hurts. Michelle Black will be joining us. Dave Krieger on the Power Hour with you in this somber moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
It is 11:31 in the morning, Central Time, Friday, February 11, 2022. And, you know, we've talked about twisted narratives here before, moving the goalposts, all that great stuff. You know, I'll tell you, it just gets weirder by the minute for a lot of different people in America. And when you think that you have all the data, like, for example, we get the data about, oh, they're going to get everybody out of Afghanistan, and then 13 of our military end up dead at the airport. They shut down Bagram. They lie to us. They tell us, you know, Sleepy Joe, you know, the guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with a mental acuity of a two-year-old, sits there and tells us all about the fact that, oh, yeah, he's going to get everybody out. Hey, they're still there. He lied. Now they're telling everybody to get out of Ukraine. And I'm scratching myself after having served during Vietnam. Why are we doing this? Why are we sticking our nose in places where it doesn't belong? And after reading Michelle Black's story, the narrative here, A Gold Star Widow's Fight for the Truth, the title of the book is Sacrifice, just by that name. The website is michelleblacksacrifice.com. And then I had to download the redacted report. And when I started reading it, it's the same drivel I hear from the U.S. government. These people cannot be trusted. And apparently, after seeing the video, which, my God, why they would allow that video. But, of course, you know, it was put out by ISIS. And there was a video about a deadly Niger ambush. And I'm scratching my head going, why are we in Niger? What are we doing playing World Cop all over the place? And I was going to lead off with the Ballad of the Green Beret, and I thought, no, that would just be way too dramatic for Michelle, because, you know, she has sacrificed so much, having two children, being a widow. She is the first woman in her family to graduate high school, attending California Polytech State U, graduated with a degree in environmental sciences and horticulture. I guarantee you she will not starve for any reason, because she probably has a very good green thumb. Besides a passion for writing, she's been published in the New York Times, the Daily Beast, Task and Purpose, lives in Washington State. Well, I don't know about Washington State, but I do know Michelle Black. At least she's smiling. God love you. I can't say enough about the sacrifice. People during Vietnam, I know, I saw the body bags, and it's not a pleasant feeling. And when I see the president of our country looking at his watch every time they offload one of those coffins, like many other Gold Star widows like yourself, Michelle, I get incensed. That is so disrespectful. It's unbelievable. But then to have the military lie to you, my first question out of the gate would be, when did you stop to figure out, hey, something isn't right here? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on, Dave. You know, because we were waiting on the investigation, I assumed that all the misinformation, because we were hearing a lot through the media, but I assumed, well, you know, we're not going to hear what the real perspective and what the truth is on what happened on the ground until we get the, you know, the brief by the investigation. And when I realized that these investigators were, in fact, on the same, you know, they were thinking basically what the media was reporting, they were getting leaked to by the investigation because the investigation was spinning this false story. And so it was only when I got my brief about 6 months after my husband was killed that I realized this was actually, we were being lied to. I thought for sure once we were briefed, they would tell us the detailed timeline of events on the ground and, you know, answer any questions we had. And that's not what happened.
But you're not the only Gold Star widow. As a result of that, there were three other U.S. military killed along with four Niger soldiers. But the thing is that, you know, everything that I'm reading about this is that this, your husband Brian and his team, totally unprepared going on for this mission. And, you know, when, how long after the spin started to happen, did you start to discover inconsistencies in the narrative?
You know, it started pretty much right away. Honestly, the first thing that happened was we heard, okay, there were 50 people that ambushed. There were 50 militants that ambushed this team. And then we had the colonel, who was the third group commander, tell us that it was a the guys were on a routine patrol. Then the next thing I hear is that there were 80 militants who ambushed them, and that they were on a kill capture mission and had misled those higher up the chain, which one of those they would have misled was this very colonel who had just told me that they were on a, you know, regular patrol. So it just kept changing from the very start.
Yeah, and see, the thing is that this is not uncommon for the military to hide and cover up things. And so in the beginning of this book, Sacrifice of Gold Star Widows, Fight for the Truth, how did you go about doing a research? Did you do a Freedom of Information Act request? How did that play out?
I didn't, because at that point I didn't know how long that was going to take. And I honestly didn't trust to get you know, information that I wanted, because I felt that to get the information I wanted, when I asked them very specific questions in my brief, it would have come to light then. So at that point, I figured the best way to get the information for myself was to speak to the men who were actually on the ground and in country at the time, or had been in country. So I spoke to the former SOC Africa Commander General Don Bolduc, who had been in country up until June of that year. My husband was killed in October. So he knew exactly how everything worked in Africa and what that mission should have looked like, and what kind of assets they should have had on the ground. So I spoke with him. I also spoke with Major Alan Van Son, who was actually on paternity leave but would have been commanding the team had he been in country. And he actually lost his job after it. So I spoke to him. And then I also interviewed several men who survived the ambush, who were on the ground, and so team members. And then I interviewed the Arlet, the Helleborn unit's team commander. So multiple people.
Were you getting all different kinds of stories from them, or were all the stories pretty much consistent as to what happened?
Yeah, they were all very consistent. And just to keep, make sure that I was doing it right, I interviewed them one-on-one so that I didn't have this group think going on, because I wanted to be sure my information was accurate. And it was amazing that everything they said individually flew in the face of what I was told by the investigators at AFRICOM. But not only that, they corroborated each other's stories. So There was no doubt in my mind by the end of my interviews that I had the actual account, the correct account of what happened on the ground that day.
Okay, so I know, and that must have been really disheartening, knowing that the U.S. military lied to you about the narrative and twisted it and spun it in the media, and then come to find out, you do your own interviews and you find out. Can you take us step by step through what happened that day? I understand that somebody backed into the vehicle that your husband was in. And I don't know whether they disabled it or not. I didn't get that far. But take us through that entire narrative the way you actually found it out. And I know this may be hard for you, but, you know, I think our audience needs to hear it to know exactly what we're dealing with this government.
Correct. So first I'll tell you what we were told versus what I learned. What I was told was that the team, there were three CONOPs, which are concept of operations reports. And I was told that the first CONOP is the one that the team put together, and that it basically said they were going on a civilian reconnaissance mission, and in fact, they were lying, they were going to go hunt down a terrorist. There were two follow-on missions that came from higher up the chain, and there were two CONOPs with those. And those were capture detain missions, and for some reason, we were being told there was nothing wrong with that paperwork. later I would find out that there were multiple things wrong with the paperwork that came down from above, and that the team did do a civilian reconnaissance mission and were not going on a kill capture mission. The other thing was we were told that the team did not push back on the two follow-on missions. I learned that they did in fact push back multiple times. I was told that that before they were sent up alone into this dangerous area along the border, not only did they not push back, but that those higher up the chain ran a second risk assessment. And these risk assessments basically, initially, they did a risk assessment and decided that, hey, they do need a backup team, this Helleborn unit, in case there's any issues. This Helleborn unit can, you know, cover casualty evacuation, et cetera. Then that Helleborn unit got canceled. So they sent my husband's team up alone, but they did not do a second threat assessment to see whether or not the threat had significantly diminished to justify sending that team up alone to the Mali border in just their slow moving trucks, which only move 5 miles an hour. So they moved up there. Clearly they're going to be detected because they can hardly move. They're driving through the night. It was a 10-hour movement in the dark, through the desert in an area that was heavily infested with, militants. Then on their movement back, they were set upon by initially a few and then pouring into the area many ISIS militants. We were told that the team captain chose to stop the vehicles and get out so he could do a bold flanking maneuver, because the general thing they were trying to sell everybody on in the media and the families was that this team captain was a cowboy and so he needed to be punished. In truth, when shots first rang out, the partner force vehicles, which were in the lead, panicked and backed up, causing a collision on the road, which trapped all the vehicles on the road and essentially trapping them in the kill zone. So then they had to get out, separate the vehicles, and kind of sort everybody before they could move along. And they thought there were only one or two ISIS militants in the bushes at that time. So the captain got out and did a bold flanking maneuver just to take out the few enemies they thought were there. But multiple enemies poured into the area, and then they became overwhelmed.
That has got to be totally scary, even to find out those details. And they sent in no air support, nothing. This is just nuts. I mean, and they knew if they were going out there that they might need backup. And here they are sending in a very small contingent, and little did they know. I mean, this is the thing. If they're doing the kind of intel I think they are, and they've got satellite imagery and everything else, they would know what's going on here. I mean, they were able to track down Osama bin Laden, allegedly, so far as we know, and take him out. And they knew where everybody was at any given moment because these satellites have some sort of infrared FLIR imaging. And we're just sitting there scratching our head going, okay, we're hearing one thing in the media. You're interviewing everyone separately, which was a very smart thing to do. I commend you for that. And then on top of it, you find out things weren't what they said. In fact, it was totally this almost like sounds like Con Air in that one scene when they're in the boneyard. And, you know, John Malkovich says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to blow up one vehicle in the front, blow up the one in the back, and then we're going to take them all out. I mean, this sounds exactly like Con Air and how that played out. And the U.S. military, was there any reason why they would have had to send them out at that point in time? Did we ever figure that out?
No. The only thing I could come up with is that there had been a kidnap victim and by the name of Jeffrey Woodkey, who was rumored to be in the area and possibly held by this specific terrorist. And my only thought is that the lieutenant colonel who was running the whole thing was hoping that he'd get lucky. The team would find this guy on accident or they'd find something that would lead them to this guy and that it would be good for his career. That's the only reason, because he brought up this Jeffrey Woodkey later. And my husband's team is not the type of team, their mission in country was not to go after a kidnap victim. In fact, when I brought that up to the men later, and, you know, others, they laughed. They said, no, we wouldn't be on that type of mission. That wasn't our mission set. If we were going to be finding a terrorist, specifically hunting down a kidnap victim, they would send in a ranger team, and there would have been a lot more assets on hand. And, you know, so the fact that later on, not only did the lieutenant colonel who sent them up there tell me that, but General Waldhauser brought it up in his brief. So my thought is they were hoping to get lucky, and that's it.
And it backfired on him.
Yeah. Backfired on my husband.
Well, yeah, in a bad way, and I'm so sorry for that. You know, this is the one thing. I mean, people know. I mean, he was in Spec Ops. He was a Green Beret, and one of the things that they are trained for is danger. But something like this, sending him into a virtual ambush when they knew or should have known what the situation was like on the ground, they should have known that they might be encountering. And, I mean, with ISIS in any given area, you know they weren't going to be nice. ISIS never plays nice. They didn't play nice in Afghanistan, and I feel sorry for the people there that have to deal with this now. So as far as writing the book, when did you decide to embark on that mission?
Well, pretty much straight away. I think, you know, like I said, 6 months after we were briefed, and I had already been writing just stories, you know, family stories to keep for the kids so I wouldn't forget them later. And I had started basically writing down what was happening and what we were being told, because it seemed like everything just kept growing. But the day I decided I was going to write the story was the day that General Waldhauser did a media brief in front of, you know, he went in front of the nation and basically reiterated everything I had heard in my family brief, which I knew was not accurate. And then he went a step further and said, while all teams on the continent are performing optimally, this team is not indicative of what special operators do. And that's like saying, you know, when you die with a Green Beret on, you are no longer worthy of the title. He just completely lambasted my husband and all the men who fought and died alongside him. And at that point, I was done being nice and waiting to hear the truth.
Yeah, bully for you. So now you communicated with the other widows, right?
Not really. I was so when Brian was killed, there was one other Green Beret and then two support soldiers with him. And I had not met, I'd met all the other Green Beret wives. I had only met Sergeant LeDavid's wife once, and I had never even met Jeremiah Johnson, Sergeant First Class Jeremiah Johnson. I'd never met him or his wife because he had only shown up in country for the first time and met the team a couple weeks before that mission. So I'd never met them before. And they weren't living in the area as far as I knew. I think at the time, Maisha was down in Florida living with her family because she was pregnant with their third. So I was speaking with some of the parents. That was about it, yeah.
And, I mean, how did they feel? Were they just willing to accept what the media said, or – when you
We all knew they were lying. Yeah. Okay. And my in-laws, same thing. We'd been talking for months and they all knew everybody was lying. And at that time I was trying to focus in on my kids' grief, trying to manage all this chaos. And, fortunately my father-in-law is a great communicator. So he was staying in touch with a lot of the other families and kind of, you know, letting me know, yeah, they're all hearing lies too. So.
Wow. So the thing is that all of this is in the book. You start out from the beginning as far as how Brian ended up in Niger, and you take us through the entire narrative of what they said, what you found out. You went on TV and started talking about your discovery? How did that play out on the media after they were spoon-fed that narrative from the military?
You know, I haven't had a ton of TV interviews. I've done some through Fox and some through Newsmax since my book came out. But I'm hoping it'll get picked up a little more because, you know, my next step is to be sure that this doesn't continue to happen, because it does happen. It happens all the time. I mean,
sure,
we can go through, you know, tons of stories, whether it's, you know, Pat Tillman or Benghazi or Niger ambush, or now people are talking about, you know, the 13 killed in Afghanistan. And, you know, everything seems to be like we do these investigations in a way that's safest for those highest up the chain of command, not in a way that honors the sacrifice and gives the families what they need to be able to move forward with their lives. And that's not acceptable.
Right. Well, I mean, and everybody needs closure. And I certainly would include you in that. Now, this scenario regarding the U.S. military and the fact that they, you know, so many have sacrificed themselves over stupid mistakes made by their upline, and that includes right into the DOD, the Pentagon, Biden, everybody. I mean, he's the commander in chief, and he basically is the commander in chief right now with his brain the way it's acting. My whole scenario, and I mean, I'm sorry, but after what happened in Afghanistan and what we saw, and there was so much video of that, I mean, technology markedly improved, but them shutting down Bagram and doing all the boondoggles, I mean, we haven't gotten to the bottom of that yet. And then the way he treated those Gold Star widows when he came and attended the unloading of the coffins, looking at his watch. I mean, all this, you saw that, did you not?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I keep in contact with one of the mothers. So, yeah, no, I know very well. Well, yeah.
You're doing that as a support. You do that as a support basis, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just
I mean,
because
you've been through
not
it.
Many people have been in our position. And I know the only people who help me through it is when I can talk to someone who's been through something so unique. But yeah, because how many people have, they lose a loved one, have a media frenzy over it, and it's just, it's so much more than grief. It's very overwhelming.
So as far as the U.S. military goes, I'm sure you've been asked this question a lot. Do you have any animosity toward the military now as a result of all this?
You know, ironically, I don't. It's not the military. And I think it's the same as I would say about the police force when you end up with a cop who puts himself above everybody else. You know, there's one bad person ruins it for everybody. And that's the thing. That's what causes these specific issues. And you see it over and over, not because that's the norm, but because these individuals pop up who act in a self-serving manner and get away with it. And we need to quit letting these people get away with it, because the military, you know, I love the military. I think it's great. I love all of their ideals. You know, very heavy on service and sacrifice. They're very respectful. There's so many things about the military that I think are great. And our, you know, our country is what it is because of our servicemen and women. They're some of the greatest people in this nation. But unfortunately, there are those at the higher levels, as there always will be, there are some who are just self-serving. And unfortunately, in the military, when that happens, the self-serving individuals cost lives. And that's not acceptable.
No, I understand and I agree completely. And it just, you know, this is one narrative that I don't think is ever going to go away. And you've heard nothing from the higher-ups that issued this report following the release of the book, and you're coming out and talking about it. No, you had no response from the government. They're just, everything's all quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm not surprised, Michelle, because I mean, this is the sort of thing that happens. They just clam up and say nothing until somebody confronts them and drags it out. Have you talked to any of your congresspeople from the state of Washington about any of this and shared it
I
with
have.
People there?
I
what
have.
Are they saying?
And, you know, I do get a lot of support from congressmen, congresswomen. There's a great gal out of Spokane who I've spoken with. She's amazing. My congressman out of Fort Bragg, when I was there, I still keep in contact with me. He's a huge supporter of my book. And, you know, I also have a lot of supporters within, you know, special forces, even at the higher levels. So, you know, I think those who were closely involved, those officers who are threatened as far as their career could be affected, they're not happy with my book. And so, of course, I don't hear from them. But I get a lot of support from everybody else, you know, so that's good.
Well, yeah, that's good to know. All right, so the website is michelleblacksacrifice.com. And now where do they buy the book? Because I know people are going to want to read the whole thing.
Yeah, and, you know, it's everywhere books are sold. Amazon, you know, wherever you can buy books. In fact, today they just released the new paperback, which is an entirely different cover that I'm very excited about. So
well,
it's a
wonderful
picture of the men.
Well, and that's a good thing. And I know that, you know, some of the proceeds of this book are helping you, you know, get through the day and get through life. And so, you know, we encourage everybody to get a copy of that and realize for yourself exactly what kind of people in our United States government are constantly being involved in one cover-up after another. Michelle, thanks so much for being on the show. We are out of time, going to the top of the hour break, and we thank you and God bless you for your sacrifice.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Dave Krieger on the Power Hour. We will be back after this break. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.